Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Watch Me Grow Radio with your host from IgniteRadiance.com, Star Staubach.
That's me, Star Staubach, and that's what we're here to do, Ignite Radiance for you today. And I'm doing that this afternoon with Kim Yancey of LiveHappy.com, CEO and co-founder of Live Happy, as well as co-founder of eWomen Network. And Kim is just coming off of a 24-hour live stream of happiness from the International Day of Happiness. It was the third annual this year. So welcome, Kim. I'm so glad that you're here to join us.
It's really a pleasure to be with you, and it's funny. You know, I was telling someone the other day that if you've never been up for 24 hours, it gets really rough between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. in our particular case, we started this like at 7 p.m. the night before, and then, you know, went to 7 p.m. the next day. So anyway, thought I'd pass along that little piece of trivia.
And has it been a while since you've stayed up 24 hours, Kim?
I'm telling you, you know, I'm sure I've done it like on Christmas or something as a little kid. I couldn't sleep, you know, I was just so anxious. But no, not as, you know, I tell you, it's a different thing, you know, doing it. But it was a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
Very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. So what makes you so passionate about spreading this message of living happy? Where does this passion come from? Has it always been a part of you?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to find the best within myself. And, and I always thought, you know, I'm a seeker of truth, you know, my own personal truth. And so I'm always looking for, or I have been, on a journey to be as fulfilled as I can, to get in touch with my own inner truth. And, you know, I also had a lot of challenge with happiness. While I'm a happy kind of person, you know, and I look for the best in things, I also have, you know, my down times, my down moments, and my struggles. And, you know, what I realized is, you know, especially as I got older, it's funny, the things that come to you as you get older and wisdom kicks in. I realized, you know, what am I chasing? You know, I mean, most of us, I find, are chasing happiness. I mean, ultimately, even Beyonce, she was interviewed one time, and the interviewer was asking her and said, you know, listen, you know, gosh, you worldwide fame, everybody knows you, you're a highly recognizable figure, you got all these hit records, you know, what's next? You know, what do you want? And she looked at the interviewer and says, I just want to be happy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my pursuit of truth, what's really exhilarating for me was the discovery of positive psychology and the research and the studies around this to realize that we're all pursuing happiness, and our Constitution says we have the right to pursue happiness, but it's all wrong. And it's wrong from the standpoint it's not about the pursuit of happiness. That's the wrong formula. It's about the happiness in the pursuit. It's like being happy in the doing. If all you're doing is pursuing happiness and you reach this goal and you reach that goal, or you know, you finally get into that house you've been dreaming about, you get that car you've been wanting, or you know, those things, that's fleeting, because what happens, and the brain does this to you, is that it says, okay, you've accomplished that, now let's move to the next thing, let's go to the next bigger thing, or let's try this next thing. In other words, it's all fleeting. It isn't a moment that you really cherish and fully envelop this, the happiness in what's happened to you. So if you're always seeking, you're always searching, you're never enjoying the true happiness that you have in the moment, like this moment with you right now. The future is not promised to me. I don't know 5 minutes from now if I'm, you know, I plan on being alive 5 minutes from now, but that's not guaranteed to any of us. And what's happened is over. What I do have is this right now with you, Star.
And as you're saying that, I'm really feeling this moment, and I'm looking out my window, and there's a gorgeous cardinal just sitting there looking at me in this tree. thought I'd bring that
That's
to you.
Great.
This moment. But so, and have you, I mean, has this always been a part of who you are? Have you always been that happy guy, or did this evolve once you found
positive
psychology?
No. It's definitely evolved. It has definitely evolved. I think that so many of us operate in our happiness kind of alone. You know, we've kind of, see what positive psychology did is it validated things that we have thought. Like, okay, like for example, if I'm thinking, you know, all right, Kim, you know, approach life with a positive attitude, with an upbeat attitude. Well, that might be my belief system, and it might have been my dad telling me this. But once I really got into positive psychology and started to understand the way the brain works, the way endorphins and serotonin and dopamine and all that work within your system, once I learned that I can choose to be happiness, my happiness can be contagious, that I can impact other people by the way I show up and present myself and respond to things that I'm around, the way my brain processes what it sees, feels, touches, tastes, you know, all of that can be impacted by me choosing and being conscious in the moment that I can make a difference. I can expand my happiness. It isn't just by happenstance that I'm happy. I can expand it. So as a kid, I was predisposed to, you know, smiling and laughing and mm-hmm. and being involved. Now I don't hold back. Now I realize go for it. Now I realize that, you know, when I'm making a choice between do I buy this gift, this item, or do I think of some kind of experience that I can have with someone that will take this gift to a whole other level. I mean, I know the difference mm-hmm. between giving someone a product or a thing and by giving someone an experience. I tell them I opt for an experience. Yeah, I'll give you even a more simplified. I took my family. We went to, now that our kids are grown up, I have a 19-year-old son and a 24-year-old daughter and who is married. And we mm-hmm. did our first family vacation where we brought, I mean, we do a family vacation every year, but this year we included my daughter's spouse, her husband, great guy, love this guy. So we included him. So it became, you know, so the family got expanded. So it's the five of us. We went to Mexico to the Riviera Maya, to a fabulous resort down there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that my wife had said that she always wanted to do is she always wanted to swim with the dolphins. Well, let me tell you, this mm-hmm. became a major priority for me. This is how it's changed me. In years past, when she would say, "Gosh, you know, I like to swim with the dolphins," and I might have been, you know, like one of my thoughts might have been, "Well, great, let me look into that," and you look into the price, and you know, you realize, okay, it's somewhat a little bit expensive here to swim with these dolphins. Mm-hmm. But this time, knowing what I know about, you know, happiness and positive psychology, I was seeking the experiences. I was seeking them out. And so, you know, in this particular case, I took the family, went to go swim with the dolphins. Now, here was the real interesting part. Is at the end, the guy came up, and they were doing video and taking pictures, and they said, "Hey, Mr. Yancey, we've captured video and pictures of the whole thing. We have a video package. We have a picture package and a video package. You can get one or both or whatever." And I went and looked at the packages, and I said, "I want both. I want the whole thing," because I realized that having those pictures and having that video were so critical to the experience we're all going to have when this is over. To years from now, when they have kids and we look back and look at what we did, because I understand the value of savoring, of, you know, taking these experiences and expanding them in your brain to make them even grander, and you know, the things that you talk about and the jokes that you have around them. So what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say is that my study of happiness has shown me that not only things like experiences, but also the power of gratitude. You know, not just a cursory, you know, I'm grateful. But I'm talking about when you really every day are thinking of things. I always think of three things every single day, different, that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that you told me about that cardinal outside your window. How wonderful is that? You know, just, and I can picture the scene, I can picture the sky, but, you know, and if there's one thing I can tell you, anyone who's listening to this and says, okay, this guy just said he appreciates the cardinal out the window, here's what I can tell you, is there's nothing more beautiful than the appreciation of things that are around you, nature, of your health, the fact that you can get up out of your seat and walk someplace without giving it a second thought, or, you know, reach in that cupboard and grab a glass without giving a second thought. I mean, these are things that when you can't do it, oh my gosh, you know, or when you're dealing with pain, you know,
all of this,
I realize that I've got a fortune. I am extremely wealthy with just the body that I've got. And if I can't be grateful for that, then you can't be grateful for anything.
That's brilliant. And, you know, it touches on some of the information that Dr. Christine Carter shared when she was on my radio show. She studies happiness at Greater Good Institute. And she was talking about deprivation, like you were saying. Like, we don't appreciate the way that our bodies can just get up and walk freely without the pain until you're deprived of that opportunity. And deprivation is the natural way to happiness. But oftentimes, we're not depriving ourselves. And, you know, it's like God, the universe is providing that opportunity for us to start appreciating when we're not, you know, like, You appreciate your legs, like, well, I'll give you the opportunity to really appreciate it. But it's just, it's fascinating. And it was from that conversation with her that we started as a family really practicing gratitude in the form of what is our favorite part of the day. And it's transformed dinner, and it's transformed the interaction that we have together. My children are not grown like yours. They're very young still. And it's been really beautiful to watch, in particular, my 3.5-year-old now. She was 18 months when we started this practice. And, Kim, we can't sit down at the table without her saying, Mama, what's your favorite part of the day? Like, I can't take a bite until she wants to hold hands and all connect and hear the favorite part of the day. And it's just it's a beautiful thing for me to see her growing up with that. But there was something else that you said. Now, is what has been your greatest tool, your greatest asset in your happiness toolbox?
It's study. My greatest tool is study. My greatest tool is learning from other people. It's engaging with these happiness experts. I mean, one of my favorite books is Sean Acor's book, The Happiness Advantage. Tremendous book. There's lots of information. So my greatest tool is studying and reading about happiness. It's engaging and practicing, you know, what I read about. So, you know, it's changed the way I look at exercise, you know, understanding that, you know, not exercising, let me put this in perspective, not exercising is like the equivalent of you saying, give me two of those depressed pills so I can be bummed out today. I mean, you know, in other words, I mean, exercising is the same as taking antidepressants. I mean, many doctors now prescribe exercise to their patients who are depressed. Get out, get some sun, walk, you know, move. You know, I had a friend of mine who gave me a new metaphor. I'd never heard this before, and I really like it, but sitting is the new smoking. I don't know if you've heard that. Sitting is the new smoking. And, you know, you've got to get up and move. It's going to elevate your mood. It's going to elevate, you know, your energy, your attitude. It's going to have a profound effect on you immediately, you know, as opposed to exercising because you want to lose, you know, X number of pounds, which is going to take you 8 to 10 weeks, and, you know, which is not a bad thing. But truly, daily, some form of exercise, walking, you have to do some hour marathon or something like that, just something for 15 minutes will make a difference in how you feel. So my greatest tool is study. My greatest tool is reading, and is then practicing it. that's what makes the difference. You know, I'll
nice.
Tell you. You know, I'll tell you, Star. Being in the now, when you focus on the now, you know, there is so much hallucinating that we do as humans that, you know,
right.
you can get so bogged down with worrying about things that are in the future, things that, oh, I've got to get to this, and oh, I got to get to that, and mm-hmm. oh, I should be this, and oh, I should be that, instead of in this moment doing the thing that you can do, that you can focus on the thing that you can do. It's the little things. Those little things are the absolute big things. I mean, my dear friend Jeff Olson wrote the book, The Slight Edge. I mean, he is so right, so powerfully right, and it's the little things that seem insignificant while you're doing them, but compounded over time, they always win. They always get you to where you want to be. And so I think that one of the challenges for so many of us is that inability to be in the moment, to be in the doing, and then appreciating and having gratitude for the fact that you can do this little bit and being successful with it and enjoying it while you're doing it.
And
you have to bring consciousness to it.
Couple of things. One of the things you shared was the experience of, and I read that, you know, on livehappy.com is just full of resources and some of the science that you're talking about and the happy site, you know, the positive psychology, and it's just so fascinating to me as well. I love this stuff. I kind of eat it up, and it's a occupational hazard, you know, like I'm always giving these tools and resources and studies to my husband. He's like, okay, honey, enough. But the piece about experiencing, you know, several years ago, I stopped giving my nieces and nephews gifts for Christmas and for their birthdays, and instead gave them, it wasn't very exciting initially, but I gave them coupons, like you get to go to Auntie Star's house for a sleepover or for a big adventure or for, you know, we'd go to the zoo or we'd go to the ball game or we'd, and they came to really love it and look forward to it, and they're opening all the other presents, and then they turn to me, Auntie Star, and I'm really looking forward to my day with you. And I could feel that was a different level of happiness for me than just opening up. You see it when kids have birthday parties. Like, you see them just kind of one after the other and then pushing those gifts aside, and maybe they'll go and run and play with one or two. But it is a fascinating thing to observe that experience of something is so much more, it brings so much more joy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it absolutely does bring so much more joy. No, there's no question about it.
Is it naive to think that is happy available to us all the time? Is that naive to think that we can have happy all the time?
Yeah, totally. It's available to you all the time. It should. It is something that you can bring into your life all the time. Are you going to have sad moments? You know, my son, just a wonderful, beautiful, talented, phenomenal young lady, 16 years of age, went to a homecoming dance with my son. They were good friends. And just last week, we found out that this now 20-year-old young woman was in a car accident and perished in the middle of the day here in Texas. And I mean, it just dropped me and my wife to our knees. I mean, it was just like this beautiful. And she was the only daughter of this wonderful couple. And we just felt so much pain, so much anguish over this.
Right.
Now, let me say that ups and downs are part of life. We all know this. But my experience with learning about happiness, learning about forgiveness and appreciation, and it helped me to get to a better place quicker. You know what I'm saying? It helped me to appreciate, and then instead of dwelling on the pain of her loss, I started to focus on how wonderful she was, how blessed we were that we had her on our planet for 20 years. Looking at a picture of her and my son and saying, what a gorgeous couple. Weren't they just, look at that dress that she had on. I mean, it's like my brain, while dealing with the grief, also just took the good parts. We weren't there when the accident took place, but we were there when she came, when they were at the house for their homecoming. Do you understand? For me, I was able to change my focus to all the things that were right about this young lady. Mm-hmm. And it just helped me to deal with the pain better. Mm-hmm. So happiness is available to you all the time. It's like saying, is health available to you all? Yeah, I mean, it's your vessels, what carries you around. I mean, are good manners available to you all the time? Yes, they are. Is politeness available to you all the time? Yeah, you can be polite.
Right.
Is kindness available to you? My father told me something, and this is a quote from Gandhi, but I really liked it. It was like, you will forever, the quote was, you'll never be accused of being too kind. Kindness always and all things is good. There's never a time when it's not.
Right.
Never spoiled,
right.
So, yeah, so it is available to you. You should use it. You should tap into it. It is there for you in abundance. It's there for you, no matter what you're going through.
And that leads me to my next question. Has there ever been a time when you felt, I know for myself, Kim, and this is maybe a little vulnerable, but I'll share that there have been times when I've been surrounded by loved ones, family members even, that I felt almost apologetic for my happiness, like I shouldn't be. Have you ever experienced that yourself, where you felt apologetic, like it wasn't appropriate for you to get?
Prior to my study and launching Live Happy magazine, prior to my awakeness around happiness, yes.
Right.
I would downplay my happiness, or I would diffuse my happiness. Awakeness. No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Right.
If someone else is not having, if they're saying, hey, man, this is awful. In fact, I'll tell you, I was in the car with my brothers and sisters. We were in a limousine. It was a funeral limousine. My 91-year-old uncle had passed away, and I had gone to Philadelphia, and we were all in the car together. And I was sitting in the very front, and I just couldn't help but to observe that my sister-in-law is not happy in her job. And she proceeded to, as we were driving, to talk about the people she works with and how this wasn't, this isn't going right. She proceeded to talk about all the things that weren't right about her world, about this place where she worked. And others in there kind of chimed in. And what happens is, just as happiness is contagious, negativity is contagious. So all of a sudden, there's this little negative pool of discussion, and someone kind of built on the other person's thing. Oh, yeah, well, I know somebody who, blah, blah, blah. I just listened. I would say after about 30 minutes, I decided to say to them, I want to point out something to you guys. I said, I've been listening to this, and I want you just to reflect on the conversation you just had, because all of it was, ain't it awful? All of it was what's bad with it. All of it was around all the negative components. And I said to them, I said, guys, I'm bringing this up to you because prior to Live Happy, prior to my study in positive psychology, I wouldn't have said anything. I might have joined in with you, even though I'm a positive person. Just to be, just to match your tone, quite frankly, just to match your tone. I might have jumped in.
Right,
with you. I said, but what I want to tell you guys is that negativity is like Velcro. It sticks to the mind like Velcro. Positivity is like Teflon. It like slides off, and which is why happiness takes work. You have to work for your happiness. You have to, it's not for sissies. It's something you have to cultivate, you have to develop, you have to practice. And I said, well, listen, my statement to all of you is we've got a choice. We can decide that we're going to see what is the what is the ugly thing going on with my job, or what's the thing that I can't stand here, just can't stand there. And quite frankly, it's so easy to latch onto this negativity, like you're trying to find the prize in the Cracker Jacks box. Okay,
right.
The other side of this is if you decide to say, look, what are the good things that are going on in my life? What are the things that I can bring to this? I mean, you have to understand, if you have all of these negative feelings, what are you going to bring to your place of employment? You know, again, the negativity can be contagious, and so can the positivity be. Now, I got to tell you something, and you know, we talked a little bit more. My one sister-in-law said to me, says, Kim, she says, frankly, I was surprised, but she says, I really appreciate what you're saying. She says, I need more of that in my life. I said, you can have it. It's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just mm-hmm. take hold of your choice. Take hold of your decision. You know, when someone is saying something that's negative or pulling you down, you get to say something nice. You get to go a different way. You get to say, hey, I got to take, no matter what they're saying, you can say something to me about whatever it might be, and I can say to you, hey, listen, I just got a compliment. She's, that is a nice-looking purse you got. What is that? You know, in other words, find something to another level. But you can't do that if you're not aware and if you're not conscious and you're not in the moment. You know, you are engaged in your life. And know that this is something that I need to look for. Listen, I had a good friend of mine, and I adopted his slogan. I asked, because that's a real good question you ask about, you know, do you ever diminish your own happiness because the other people around you aren't happy, or, you know, you just don't want to seem too happy, like, oh, there you are, Miss Happy such and such, you know. And I'm going to tell you, embrace your happiness, go with your happiness, you are right. And, you know, just smile at the other person and just say, I just choose this. And I would, you know, you have a right to your choices, but if that's serving you well, if that's what's serving you and that fuels you and that makes you feel good, then you've got to walk your path. My path is,
right.
I choose a different path, okay? But, but a buddy of mine shared this with me. It's a doctor, Dr. Fab Mancini, and he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. He's got a book out on self-healing. But I asked him, because he's always up, you know what I mean? But, you know, people can see people like you and me and think, you know, they're always happy, happy, happy. No, we're not. You know, we have our challenges just like everybody else. We just handle it differently. But I asked him, I said, Dr. Fab, what do you do when you start to have some of that stinking thinking, you know, all of a sudden your thoughts are about to take you down a path where you're like, and he says, Kim, what I do is I say to myself, cancel, cancel. And I love that. I stole that from him. That's what I do now. If I start to have a thought that's not serving me, that's not elevating, you know, my consciousness, that's not, you know, elevating my human experience, I say, cancel, cancel. I've said to myself, cancel, cancel. Don't go there. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Go someplace else. So, and my brain obeyed.
What's the cancel, cancel? That's fantastic. And what other ways do you protect your own happiness, your own contagious, joyful presence?
Well, I'm around happy people. I mean, I choose to be around people that are happy and upbeat. So
right
my friends
on.
Are happy. My friends are happy and upbeat. My friends, you know, I cannot hang around anybody who's complaining. I mean, generally speaking, I had a young guy. I mean, we were in school, and when I was a young guy too. When he was a young guy, I was a young guy too. So, but we were both buds in school, and he had a single mom, and you know, he just a good guy, played bass guitar, and is an actor and all that kind of stuff. But we went to school together, and so then we become adults, and you know, he just. I don't know what happened to him. He went to a good school, but he seemed to start complaining about people. He seemed to complain about, you know, again, like my sister-in-law that was, at, you know, talking about all the things that weren't right, you know. And one day I told him something that actually I read out of Jeff Olson's book, The Slight Edge. There's a quote in Jeff's book that I absolutely loved and I use a lot. So he was complaining, you know, and talking about, you know, hey, you know, I can't get anywhere, and, you know, you do this, next thing you know, you get slapped down, and next thing you know, you get this, you get that, get laid off, whatever. And I said to him, I said, Bobby, I said, let me just share this with you. And I gave him the quote. And the quote is, all of us are going to be faced with ups and downs and failures in life. We're all going to have our failures. But you're never truly a failure until you blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, Star, he hasn't once in our subsequent conversations ever talked about what people have done to him or what he's not getting done. It just, you know, and I was real methodical in how I said it to him. And I said, we're
right.
All going to, I said, Bobby, just remember, all of us are going to have our challenges, all of us are going to have our up and downs, and we're all going to experience our shares of failure. It's just part of life.
Right.
But you're never truly a failure until you blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take care of a lot. That will take care of a lot.
Absolutely. So who do you contribute, or who do you attribute your joyful disposition to? Who was an inspiration to you? Was it a family member? Was it an out there kind of outside of your tangible reach,
you know,
Gandhi? Or
well, definitely my father. Definitely my father. My father worked mm-hmm. two jobs, worked a factory, real estate, and caring for four kids. And he just, you know, people loved him. My father's name was Bob, and people loved him, and he was upbeat mm-hmm. and charging ahead. And he grew up without a father. His father died when he was 4 years old. So, you know, it just, so no question, he did. And I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be the kind of person that Bob was to other people. I mean, people just, they would see me and say, man, I love your dad. And I loved
mm-hmm.
that. You know, it made me feel good, gave me a lot of pride in myself. But I have all kind of different influences. You know, it's something when it comes to happiness and influence. In fact, in Live Happy magazine, we have in our May issue, I just finished my CEO letter that goes in that issue, and I write in this issue happens to be on leadership, and I write about a guy when I was on Little League, 11 years old, on the Little League team, and there was this guy named Stan, and Stan was just phenomenal. He was the best player on the team. He could out-hit everybody. He could catch better than everybody, but he had a great attitude, always up. He never said anything negative. He was always positive. And so his behavior and his positivity made you want to up-level your game, and I referred to him as being a great leader. He was a leader without proclaiming the title, you know. He was one of us, but we follow him because we wanted to be like Stan, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I write about this, but I also talk about I decided that here it is, decades later,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen Stan since I was 11 years old, so since he was on the Little League team. He was one, you know, he was, and I thought, wonder what ever came of Stan. Whatever happened to him? So then I went on a search to find Stan, to tell him how unbelievable he was and what an inspiration he was and how I never forgot him. And I write about that in my article, and you got to see that, about what I discovered about Stan
so please
and his
do.
Life.
Yeah, and I want to share with our listeners, because I want them to be able to access it as well. I know livehappy.com, but tell us more about what you're doing with livehappy.com, your live stream that you're going to be re-airing. Talk to us about all that you have going on as we wrap things up.
Well, we Live Happy magazine is just a phenomenal, phenomenal tool. And I will tell you this, it is the only magazine that I know of where people will buy subscriptions for their friends. Like, you know, people are buying 5 and 10 and 20 subscriptions for their friends to, you know, even my brother, my youngest brother, one of his dear friends from school, married for 15 years, wife came home, says, you know, I want a divorce, I'm leaving you. And he is, and his friend is like in shambles. I mean, he's just like, I can't believe this. I dearly love my wife. I just don't know, you know what. And so my brother called me to say, listen, I want to send my friend Live Happy magazine. How do I do that? You know, I had to, because my brother subscribes. You know, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, where something so impacts your life and gives people hope and gives them tools, you know, and you know, this isn't a scientific journal. While it's based on science, everything in Live Happy is based on science, grounded in science, academic proof, research studies. We don't talk about anything in Live Happy magazine that's not been proven, okay, scientifically. But it's not written in scientific speak. It's written in a lifestyle publication way. It's just, it's tremendous. So first and foremost, I say Live Happy, and you can get it at livehappy.com. livehappy.com. You can subscribe. You can send gifts to other people. You can find out about our Live Happy gear. We've got Live Happy clothing. We've got, you know, we've got our series called Wake Up Happy. Every month, I do a five-day series called Wake Up Happy, where I handpick some of the top positive psychologists in the world to interview for 30 minutes, like you're interviewing me, on topics everything from self-compassion to happiness as an advantage in your career in life, to forgiveness, to the history of happiness. I mean, we cover the gamut, all these different phases of happiness with these top experts who, my gosh, I mean, they've got their doctorates, and you get them for 30 minutes where they're just pouring into you their ideas. So I do that. You know, like I said, we just finished the 24-hour happiness live stream where we're going to take that. You know, you've got a lot of people who haven't heard that, right? I mean, obviously. Well, we're going to take that incredible content from the people we interviewed that participated, and then we're going to serve that up to the community here in another couple of weeks so people can get access to it, so they'll be able to get that at Live Happy. I think the most important thing is to subscribe to Live Happy so you get in our system, you're getting the publication, but then we'll be able to send you updates on some of these incredible interviews and some of the things that we're doing to elevate people.
Well, I just want to take a minute and say thank you for this work that you're doing, Kim, because it impacts lives, and my own in particular this past weekend and Friday on the International Day of Happiness. Even preparing for this interview, as I was checking out livehappy.com and found the International Day of Happiness within a few days, we threw together an event here in Cincinnati, and I'll tell you what, I've been making the excuse that I'm too busy to go out there and volunteer and to do something, even though I'm just that kind of person. I mean, I'll compliment the store clerk as she's ringing me through, like, hey, thanks for trying to get me through quick, you know, you don't have to do that, but you are, thank you. Or running down the street and shaking people's hands, making them smile at me, hugging them, whatever. Like, I can do those small acts. But that particular day, in a real conscious and concentrated effort, it just felt so incredibly good to, you know, even the simplest thing, Kim, of going to buy a sleeve of stickers at the dollar store and handing them out to people, random people in the grocery store and the clerks. And I could feel it. I could feel that elevation for myself and the people around, you know, like people were lining up for a sticker, man. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be so hard. And I think that's what I took away from it. And I just want to take a minute and thank you for that and for spreading that message and for encouraging those happy acts. And it really does make a difference, and I want to encourage our listeners to, as you're taking all this information, as you're assimilating it into your own life, just think about those simple acts that you can be doing to experience greater happiness. Whether or not it's passing out a sticker, buying a bouquet of flowers and giving them individually to people, or, you know, there are simple things that we can all be doing to elevate that joy that we all feel around the world. So thank you, Kim, for contributing. I really appreciate it. And it's so wonderful to share this time and space with you. Thank you.
The same to you. Love your light. Love what you're doing, too.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks. And you're listening to Watch Me Grow Radio. This is Star Staubach of IgniteRadiance.com, where you can go to get your 3 free days of allowing yourself to open up to receive exactly what it is that you say you want. So thank you to our guest today, Kim Yancey, co-founder of livehappy.com and co-founder of eWomen Network. And we look forward to seeing you right here on Watch Me Grow Radio for our next show. Thank you so much, and goodbye.